Just very quickly, these two ones we're just going to do in just literally 10 minutes each, and then we're going to bring our morning to an end. We've all heard this phrase. John Doe, about 400 years ago, said, no man, and you could say a woman as well, no human is an island entire of itself. Just want to talk about two quick themes, and this one is about the importance of relationships and being connected to others. I jokingly say I'm a loner. Actually, my friends will tell you that I actually am. I really get energized by my own company because I'm so great. And I mean, literally, I'm such a laugh to be with. Mind you, last night I was sitting on the sofa and something was on the telly, and literally I was laughing my head off for ages about something and my own joke. It was really weird. I need to get out more. There's a reason why I'm single. What was I talking about? Yeah, the importance of John Doe. And because I'm an introvert, I get energised by my own company. So that sort of makes sense. I find it really healing just to be on my own. But other people aren't. We've got friends called James Henney, and literally James has to be with people all the time. He's the other way around. But what is important is we are connected. And one of the things that sometimes happens to people when they're low or when they're down is they can particularly feel isolated and alone. And one of the things we can do when we're struggling is we can withdraw. We pull away from people rather than connecting. So just a couple of things to say about this. There is a strong biblical path, an ancient path in the Bible, all about connectivity. It starts fundamentally because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in relationship with one another. And so what they've called us to do is to model them, really, in that sense. They're in perfect relationship. And the Lord God said in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone, so he creates women. And then he creates community out of that. And then he creates a whole nation, you know. And so God is big into this idea of connection. And then, of course, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. You know, it's really important that we recognize the hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you. We need one another. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And it really is just simply to say that one of the ways that we can really look after our well-being is to be well connected. But I think it's a biblical pattern. And one of the challenges that we've noticed in the church post-pandemic is the fact that people are not reconnecting back into gathered community. Now, we could get preachy about it and say, the scripture says, do not forsake the gathering, which in one sense is true. But God doesn't just do that because attendance in church on a Sunday is important to God for numbers, because he feels lonely or anything. Do you know what I mean? We're not many in today. It's important that we recognise that there is something deeply important about being connected together and people not being alone. There's been a lot of research this year coming out about the number of young people that feel deeply alone and the number of older people who feel deeply alone. It's odd, really, isn't it, when God's created the church, this community, this intergenerational community of weird people, all been stuck together, that we have an amazing thing to offer the world in the power of community. It's really important. Let's just see what our experts say about it.
I come across loads of people who say, I'm happier alone. You know, I don't need friends. I'll be happy on my own. And each time they say it, I think, I can see why you're thinking that, but it's not going to work for you, man. So, you know, having relationships is so important. So important because it is, I would go as far as to say it's the very foundation of life. It's what we're here for, to be in community.
Our brains are only maximized or only fully developed in relationship with other people. That's how they grow. That's how those neurons are connected, specifically from an attachment and social interaction point of view. From the time we were born and even in the womb, it's in connection with someone else. That's how we grow, that's how we flourish.
Friendships are for seasons. That's really important. Yeah? You might have a friend and you are friends for your entire lifetime, and that's wonderful. But you also might have a friend and they are specifically for a situation, or they are for the duration of your school or duration of uni, and then you drift apart. And it's actually okay to drift apart. I find that a lot of young people, they struggle when friendships end, because the understanding that we journey with each other for a certain time isn't there.
There's a limit to how many relationships you can maintain, and Dunbar's number is 150. So most people in their wider periphery realistically keep in touch with about 150 people. Your inner circle, much smaller, maybe about 5. And there's interchangeability in that. So friendships actually change and move on much more than we think they would. So some of those inner circle people are related to context. So if you're at school with someone, or you're in a club with someone, or you're working with them. And if that context changes, so you change schools, or you move to a different job, or you stop playing football, or whatever it is, some of those friendships will change, just because it's practical, you don't see them so much, so you don't maintain the friendship at that level. And what Dunbar's research shows is that we actually will quite naturally move friendships around, slot them in and out. If one of our intimate inner circle friendships changes, we'll probably replace it and automatically grade up someone else. Loneliness and isolation is becoming a bigger and bigger issue. You know, we have all these friends on social media, but who are we actually connecting with?
So I think the loneliness issue is something that a lot of people struggle with. Yeah. And I think what I've discovered is the amount of married couples that might feel lonely. You know, they don't have a lot of connection with other couples. Single people can feel lonely. And you can go through different times of loneliness, can't you, when the circumstances of your peer group changes. A lot of my friends are having babies. And so their lives are about to change big time, whereas my children are 15 and 16. And so we're in a different phase of life. And I've got friends who don't have children and all this different thing. But I think loneliness is a real issue, and it impacts our well-being. And I remember going through a phase where I felt incredibly, incredibly lonely. And so I'd almost tell myself and feel sad about, I feel so alone, I feel so alone. And so you build this narrative of loneliness. Of course, aloneness and loneliness are two different things. We could talk about it for ages, I guess, but there's, you know, just want to talk about the benefits of being in good relationship, and I'm going to give you a relationship challenge. Don't worry, it's not speed dating or anything, but it is important that we realize there's so much you could teach about friendships. I love what they were saying about friendships change. That can be really difficult. I don't know if you ever had that experience where someone you were really close to and you're not anymore. There is a bereavement, isn't there, in changing friends, losing friends, and it's okay, that feeling of sense of recalibrating. But relationships are important. They do bring fun to our lives. It's been shown they can improve our mood, as long as they're a really fun friend to be around, because there are some unfun friends, aren't there? Support us through tough times. They can help to prevent loneliness and isolation. But our friendships and relationships can't solve all of that. Sometimes loneliness is a sense of something that's going on inside us that we need to talk to somebody about. Because you can ever been surrounded by lots of people but feel lonely? You know, in that moment where you don't think anybody understands you, you don't have that depth. So one of the problems potentially with church life is you can know lots of people at a surface, but really knowing someone and being known are quite important. It can help us feel good about ourselves, because you think, well, at least somebody likes me. Do you know what I mean? That's what it's a good thing when you're married. At least somebody likes you. Do you know what I mean? Well, they did at one point, but just hope they're just sticking with it now. But it can help you out practically. Friends can be there to help you do all sorts of things. I've been so grateful to friends who've helped me move house. Do you know what I mean? And put up, because I'm not very good with a drill. That surprises you, doesn't it? Steve's a genius with making stuff, but I'm not that way inclined. Having friends who can help you out, it can boost confidence, bring purpose to our lives. It helps to shape our identity, actually, to help us see who we are. It introduces us to new things that we might not have done before and experienced before, and can make a positive difference. And of course, it's important to think about what the triggers might be for friendships going wrong, because they do go wrong. And it goes wrong in the church as well. It can be quite painful. You know, the things it can be painful to go through the breakup of a relationship, or maybe arguments with parents or children even, falling out with friends, being in relationships that are not healthy for us. Sometimes that's not good. Even in the church, we can be connected as adults to relationships that are not healthy for us. I don't mean inappropriate in the sense of potential for adultery, although that's an issue. I was thinking more even just people who maybe drain too much of us, maybe are not a good influence on us. There are times when we are worried about being liked. That can impact us, feeling lonely, struggling to make friends, feeling left out, friends moving away, having to make new friends. That's obviously related to young people, but it could be at work. Those are all friendship challenges that all of us experience. But the most important thing is that we do understand that we need friendships. I just want to, where am I up to on the slides next? Because I've changed it, haven't I? Yeah, I want to do, so you get the idea of friendships, but it is a deeply important thing. I don't know, just stop for a minute. Do you feel like you have a deep and meaningful connection with other people? Do you ever feel alone or feel alone a lot? These are really important things, and particularly, I know many of you are married, but it can feel like that even in marriage, you know, that you don't know that many other people. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a friends and family pledge together. And research has shown that investing in meaningful relationships can really improve our happiness, and it's a kingdom principle. Isolation and brokenness are not kingdom principles. They're part of life, but the kingdom principle is wholeness. As I mentioned, you see it in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in absolute relationship. The New Testament is big on unity. It's not just because God thinks we should be united because it's a nice idea. It's because anything else is the opposite to the Trinity. Does that make sense? So the Trinity is so united, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that there's a beauty in that connection. And he wants us to experience some of that beauty. And so all it is you know, it's a little pledge card for you to take away and reflect on. But to write the names of five people and what you will pledge to do. It could be to make a phone call. It could be to take them for coffee or have them round for coffee. It could be just to see how they're doing. But to make a commitment, I think it could be even that you feel you need to catch up with your son or daughter, you know, because for all sorts of reasons. But I'm going to give you all of these at the end, and I want to encourage you to take one and pledge to strengthen your relationships, because we have to be active in that process. One of the problems you can do when you're lonely is expect the world to change for you, but you have to make it the other way around. So that's going to be our relationships pledge. So okay, that's what we're gonna head on to. So the final theme I want us to cover. So what have we covered? Where have we been? Looking after the soul. Remember, reconnecting to our core purpose of who we are in God. That keeps our well-being good. We did that last night. We've done savoring, taking notice, slowing down. We've done thankfulness and gratitude. We've done forgiveness. We've done relationships. And now we're going to do our final one, kindness. I believe. Is that correct? Oh, yes, it is. I've jumped on. Well, I'm well ahead. I'm in tomorrow. Kindness. Watch this little clip. Thank you. We live in a pretty cruel world at times, and our media is often working to drag people down. Have you noticed we live in quite an unkind culture? But psychologists have talked a lot about the power of kindness, and how they call it the helper's high. So it's this idea that when you express kindness outwardly, it gives you a sense of that you're making a difference in the world. And of course it does lots of other things. It means people are more likely to want to be with you. You're less likely to be alone because you're a kind human. It helps you, get involved in volunteering. You start to connect with other people. But there are some ancient paths of kindness that I think are clearly shown in the scriptures. In Hebrews 13, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for that's what pleases God. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Then we have the very example of Jesus, the epitome of kindness. Those moments where we'd interact with people nobody else would connect with. The fact that he would go to parties and weddings and just hang out with people. His acts of going out of his way to engage with people like the woman at the well or the woman with the issue of blood. And just time after time, Jesus demonstrates kindness. Even that cooking of on the beach, you know, when he reinstates Peter. What an incredible act of kindness. God's posture towards us, an act of kindness. God taking the people of Israel out into the promised land, a generous act of kindness. Throughout the whole of the scriptures, there is kindness after kindness. And then that beautiful moment where Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know, my Father's house has many rooms. Beautiful act of kindness. The fact that one day God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth is a stunning act of generosity and kindness from God the Father. And then there's the story of the Good Samaritan that we know. This act of kindness. Kindness is critical to our well-being. As I mentioned, psychologists talk about it being the helper's high. But in kindness, we see an increase in positive emotions. It creates happier environments. Gosh, if our media or our political dialogue could be kinder, or Twitter dialogue, I mean, come on to that in a minute. It strengthens relationships, boosts our confidence, takes the focus off ourselves, moves it away from being eye-centric to opening our eyes to the world. And kindness can fundamentally improve our health. I've been astonished on Twitter, and they call it Anglican Twitter and Baptist Twitter. I mean, what I mean by that is that Baptists and Anglicans follow each other. Does that make sense? There isn't actually an Anglican Twitter. But if the discourse on there is horrific. It's absolutely horrific, the way that even Christians talk and communicate with one another. And I think we're missing out on a really important kingdom narrative of kindness. Simple. Now, if you go on to something called the VIA character assessment, something you can do for free. It's American, but you fill in one of those surveys. I've been making that gift survey you used to do, try to work out what your spiritual gift was. I never got raising from the dead. I always wanted that one, do you know what I mean? And then there's always that poor sad person that got administration, do you know what I mean? It's like, but you can fill out the character strengths, and it's not that they're more important, but it works out what your three strengths are. If you live those out, you're more likely to find happiness. So I filled this in, and one of them is kindness. And there's 24. Guess where kindness came in for me? 24th. 25th. Yeah, thanks, Steve. Yeah, 24th. So I think, I've got a lot to do with kindness. I realize I'm quite a selfish person. But kindness is deeply important. So let's just finish with our experts, and then we're going to wrap up.
To others is something you might not immediately think about when you're thinking about your happiness. You know, when we think about what makes me happy, we can be quite selfish. It's that because I'm worth it, it's all about me perspective. You know, happiness is just about the things that make me feel good. I don't have to think about other people. But actually, that's not true. Human beings are created to be part of groups. We're created to do stuff in families and community, and to have interactions and connections with other people. And kindness, looking out for other people, is actually one of the most significant influences on your happiness. So the things you do for someone else actually have this unexpected bonus for you in that they make that person feel good, but they also make you feel good as well, because it's about emphasizing your connections to other people.
When you give, you actually feel better giving to someone than you do receiving, you know? When I give to somebody, I give them a gift, or I give them my time, or, you know, I give them a hug, whatever it is I'm offering up of myself. That means that you are, you value them. And the whole idea is that if we're all giving, then we're all receiving. And it's just that idea of that circle, you know. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen all the time. You know, people give and give and they don't necessarily get anything back. But we have to come with a mindset of that we don't give to get back. We give because it's our highest form of kindness.
Kindness is a process, right? That's the short version of it. But it's the, once we've weighed it up and reflected on it, it's what are we going to do? It's the doing part that really most people notice and recognises, you know. What am I going to do to show that I'm kind to you? Am I going to say a nice thing? Or am I going to give you a gift? You know, am I just going to smile at you? Because that might be what you need. So when we're being unkind, you know, we think we're having an impact on the individual that you're being unkind to. But in retrospect, you know, I'm doing it now. Like, it's the, you know, the one pointed finger and three back at me. You know, all that's doing is shining a light on where I'm at. Right, where what my heart state is, what the foundation that I'm working from is.
Stop and just be kind to yourself in this moment. What do you need at this moment, for these 5 minutes, for this afternoon, for the day tomorrow? How can you shift things? Just what is it you need? And you're not being selfish that way. You are being kind to yourself. You're sustaining yourself for the long haul. You have to do that for your own well-being, so you can then share that kindness to others.
Tim makes a good point there, doesn't he, about the importance of being kind to ourselves. And that's where I think forgiving ourselves and giving time for ourselves is really important. These two little topics we're just doing for short moments, just because they're useful just to think about. But I want to give you something before you leave today, and it's a kindness challenge. They're all random. So you can take one and go and do this random kindness challenge week. So two challenges to take with you. One, how are you going to connect with some people? Maybe you haven't seen them for a while. Maybe it's just that actually it's one of your best mates and you just want to hang out, you know. So you can take your pledge, yeah? But then I want you to take a kindness challenge. I'll read out some of them so you know what's coming. Buy a drink for the person behind you in the queue in Costa. I'm going to be following you into Costa. Oh, hello, John. Mine's an extra large vanilla latte, please, with all the toppings. But then offer to buy a drink or food for a homeless person. Greg's have got an amazing new thing, haven't they, where you can purchase a token, and you give them the token, and they can take the token in and get food and stuff. Give someone your place in the queue, and the list goes on. But just simple acts of kindness. They're great. Do them as a family. Do them as a couple. Take, you know, if you've got a family, take four or five. I mean, all your kids. You could all just do a kindness challenge. But this week, embark in thinking about how am I going to connect and how I'm going to be kind.